Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Ted Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines down. How gito dishtakach bisura? There was a get that was found in Surah v'ktiv behochi. This is what's written in it. Bisura mato, in the city of Surah, Anan Barchia, Nahardo, from Nahardo, Patrit, v'tarachit plonit, intiti. I dismiss, I free, I release my wife. Uvadku rabbanan misura v'ad Nahardo. So they checked from Surah, where it says the get is written, and Narda, where he's from. So the surah where he says the get was given, and to Narda, where he says where he's from. V'lohava anan barchia achrina. Levar me anan barchia michigra da'ava bin Narda. There was no other anan barchia besides the anan barchia michigra that was in Narda. V'atu sa'adei v'amur. Da'au yomo ki ichtav ha'u gita. All of a sudden, Edim show up and say, you know, the day that this get was written, Anan Barchia Michigra Gaban Hava. He was with us. So, Amar Abayi, Afli Didi Daminan Chashinan, even according to me, who normally says we worry about there being another Anan Barchia, Hakado Chashinan. Here we don't worry about it because the only other Anan Barchia is accounted for. We know who he is. And we have Edim telling us that he was not in Surah on that day, because he was with the Edim in Nahrda. So we know for certain he wasn't the one writing the get, because otherwise he would have been in Surah. If they tell us that he's in Nahrda, what's he doing in Surah writing a get? So we can count him out. If we count him out, then there's only one Anar Barchia, whoever wrote this get, must be her husband, and we can free or release her with this get, even though we normally worry. Here we've done sufficient checks to know or to realize that there is no Anan Barchia besides this other one, and this other one wasn't even in the location, so we're all safe. So Abayi says, I normally say I'm Choshesh. Over here I will not be Choshesh. Amarova, after the Didiv, the Lo Cheshinan. Rava says just the opposite. Even though I normally don't worry about it, Hacha Cheshinan, here I do worry about it. Dilma Begamlo Parcha Azal, maybe he went on a flying camel. Inami bikfitza, or he was either light-footed, or the way Rashi explains it, they shame. He used the shema miyuchad, some sort of amulet, and he took off, flight, magic carpet, and he was there, quick transportation. Inami, here's the more reasonable solution, which is milei mosar. He gave it over to Edim in order to tell them to go ahead and write the get in Surah. He doesn't need to be there physically for the get to be in Surah. He can be in Nahrda and send his agents to Surah to have the get written. Ah, if he's back in Nahrda and sends his agents, why does it say that I'm in Surah? That's because of what the Gemara says now, which is, Kid Amar Lahu Rav Lesafre, Rav told the Sofrim, V'chein Amar Lahu Rav Huna Lesafre, and so too Rav Huna told the Sofrim, Ki it nechu b'shile, tuvu b'shile. If you are physically present in Shile, what you write in the get is Shile. Afagav demimser in mile b'hine. Even though the person who is divorcing is in Hine, and he sent you agents to tell, I want this get, I want you to write this get up, he is physically in Hine, but you're writing the get in Shile, we go by the location of where the get is written, and that's what goes in the get. If you are in Hine, tovu behini, that's what you write in the get, even though the instructions came from Shile. So over here too, he could be in Nahrda, and he could have sent agents to Surah to have the get written. And so the Edim can testify that he was in Nahrda. And yet still the get could be his get that came from Surah. Because he sent agents to Surah, they wrote the get in Surah. If that's the case, they would have written get in the get location as being Surah, even though he wasn't physically present there. Alright, so in terms of that, the Gemara comes to it's an interesting conclusion that Abayu says, oh, I normally Choshesh. Over here, I'm not going to worry about it. Rabu says, I'm normally not Choshesh. Over here I will be Choshesh, because there is a possibility of being ma'amit, the words of the Edim, and still have the get to be written in Surah, and that means that there's a possibility here. We know for sure there's another Anan Barchia, so I don't suspect when we don't have information. But now we have information for sure that there's another Anan Barchia, and we know that it's possible that he could have sent agents to have the get written. So that's one way. Or this idea of Gamla Parcha or Bikfitza is interesting. Tosfot already asked the question that the Gemara in Makot, when it discusses this issue, says that we don't worry about that. We don't worry about the fact that people would move at extreme speeds, and therefore they could be in two places at once. So Tosafot answers in a broader context. He says, well, if the speed is going to cause the Edim themselves more problem, we're not going to make that Tana for them. So over there in Makot, it would make the situation worse for them. Over here, the speedy Edim is us questioning the situation. So over here, we can open up that possibility, because if that's the case, then we could have a situation in which the Edim are still true, and we could suspect the get came from this individual. So here we're making the taina. Over there would be a taina that would be to the detriment of the Edim, and we won't make it. Other Rishonim take a simpler approach and just say, this is not anything extraordinary. It's just to enhance the answer that Rav is giving. There are possibilities that we could have the Edim be right, and we could still have the guy be in Surah. I mean, that if he made it quickly, left in the morning, came at night, whatever the circumstance is, there are possibilities where someone is a little faster or makes the trip a little faster, could be ma'amid both of their words, or assembly with agents, plus this, we can say there's definitely a plausibility that this could take place. All right, now the Gemara says, Mahava layu deshumshimi. Remember, we started with this way back with the sesame seeds, about whether we worry about the fact that pinan, that they get taken away and replaced. Do we assume that if the object that's there is in the exact same canister with the exact same measurement, do we assume that that's the original object? Or do we say that maybe it was taken out and replaced by something of the exact same size or the exact same structure, exact same placement? It might have application for get then, which is the same thing. Do we worry about the get? That's what the question here about the individuals. Do we worry about two individuals with the same name or not? I mean, can you swap it out? We swap out the get here. So Rav Yemar Amar Lo Chashinan. Rav Yemar says we don't worry about it. Ravina Amar Chashinan. And the locha is that we are choshesh for this case. So now we are choshesh that they swapped it out. But that's the case. By the shumshamin, he doesn't have a claim because the shomer can say, listen, it's not your stuff. You took your stuff. Here's the new stuff. And it's exactly the same size as what was there before. And then also over here, that would imply by the get that also we would worry about the fact that there was a swap out of the get, or that some person with the exact same name has this get. And because of that, right, we would have worried. But we also know that Abai v'Rova, halacha ke Rova. And over here, Rova says, lo chayshinan. So from that, you would have to conclude that the chayshinan is only applicable by dinei mimononot. But by Isurei, we're not choshesh. And that's what Rova says over here, that we're not choshesh for such a thing. And therefore, we would not worry about this issue with regards to the same name, except for this case, this one unusual case here, where we have the possibility that we have Edim that already identified that there's another individual here. Once we're muchzak, that there is another individual, then we will be choshesh. But if we don't have any information that there's another individual with that same name, then we're not just going to be choshesh for the sake of being choshesh. So Rabba will agree where we have machzik, that there is another party, then we start to worry about it. Otherwise, we will not worry about it. By dinei mimononot, if he has a claim that suggests that he swapped it out and it turns out to be the exact same size, over there we will worry about it. All right. Tata beino deveina. The Mishnah talks about the standard case being a case where shalom be'olam, shalom beino veina. There was peace in the world and there was peace between them. We said before that that's the default status. The only reason the Mishnah mentions it is because of the subsequent two cases. One case is milchama be'olam. And the second case is shalom ba'olam, but k'tata beino deveina. There's some sort of quarrel, discord between them. So heichi dami k'tata beino deveina. What does it mean that there's some sort of altercation, discord between them? Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel bo'omeret l'bala gershini, where she says to her husband, divorce me. So Gemara has an interesting answer to that. Kulu nami amru hachi. All women say that. All women at some point get angry and they say, divorce me. That's not evidence of the fact that there's unusual discord with this couple. Obviously, what the Gemara is trying to figure out is that couples do quarrel. People do have altercations. How do we determine if this just is normal type of behavior, or this is the type of behavior that's evidence of the fact that there's some serious discord here? So the Gemara says, if she just says, divorce me, that's something that they throw out there when they're angry. And so you can't bring evidence of the fact that that is proof that there's serious discord over here. That's just normal discord. Ella, bomeret the bala, gerishtani. She says, my husband divorced me. Vilahemna midrav hamnuna. So should we believe her because of Rav Hamnuna? Dam Rav Hamnuna, yishasham ra la bala, gerishtani, ne'emenet. She says that her husband divorced her, but she says it in front of her husband that he divorced her. Chazaka inisha mizapanea bifnei bala. A woman, there's a chazaka that she will not lie face to face with her husband. She will not have the gumption or the chutzpah to say directly to her husband's face that he divorced her when he did not divorce her. So that's what the Gemara says here. When Omemet Labala, she says to her husband, you divorced me. And so now we have her saying it straight to her husband's face that you divorced me. So now the Gemara says, oh, if she does that, then she's believed. What do you mean that here we have a quarrel? Forget about a quarrel. They're divorced at this point because she says to her husband's face that divorced her. So Mar says, no, Bo'omer girishtani bifnei ploni uploni. She says, you divorced me in front of so-and-so edim. V'shilna, we asked those edim, v'amrulo ayu dvarim me'olam. And those edim say, we never saw such a thing. We never heard of such a thing. So now, so the Gemara at first suggested that it was when she says, divorce me. Mar says, that's too common. The Gemara says, no, it's a case where she said, in front of her husband, you divorced me. In fact, I mean, that's already done. So now the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, she's believed, and they're already divorced. So then what are we talking about? Quarrel between them? They're not married anymore. So Gemara says it's a situation in which she says in front of her husband, you divorced me, in front of so-and-so. They go and check with so-and-so, and they say that never happened. They dispute her claim. Now, by disputing her claim, she's now a shakran. She's now a liar. Now that she's a liar, now it changes the whole din here. They're clearly not divorced because they didn't deny the fact that she was divorced. But now we have a situation in which we don't believe her anymore. Obviously, she wants to be divorced and she's going to do anything to get divorced. So because of that, now when she comes back from overseas and says her husband's dead, we have serious reservations about this testimony because she's already proved to us once that she did it. Now, why that is, the question is because she's a liar once, she'll lie again. So we assume she's lying. Or no, because it's with the dummy. Once she lied already, outright, then when she comes back from the battle, she'll be with the dummy. She'll make assumptions, she'll use circumstantial evidence, she won't say anything.
Her mind is already on.
Right, we're not going to say that she lied outright, we're just going to say that she drew conclusions because she really doesn't care so much. So that's the two approaches in the Rishonim, whether it's sheker or it's with the dummy. Now, there will be a nafkamina between these two opinions, is do we believe her when she says, he meita mitato, that he died on his bed. I mean, then in cases where you have this differential between the dummy and the sheker, if you think she's just an outright liar, it doesn't matter what she says, we're not going to believe her about her husband's death anymore because she just lies. If you say that the problem now is that once she's proven that she wants out, that she's going to use this the dummy, if she makes a claim that's not the dummy, meaning that I was standing there when he passed away on the bed, then maybe she should be believed in that case. So there will be a difference in how you explain this Gemara based on how we extrapolate the lying over here. So Gemara says, my time of diktato. So what's the problem here of ktata? Why is there a problem of when she's a discord? Ravuna mar mishum de mishakro. Because she lies. Rav Shimi barashi amar mishum de amra bidadami. Because she says that, I think. Right, so this is what we just described here. The difference between whether we extrapolate the sheker, the lying that she did, or do we say that because she is willing to lie, she's not going to check so carefully. She just wants out, and therefore she'll use circumstantial evidence. My binayu, what's the nafkamina between these two opinions? Igbinayu, de argil hu ktata. So Tosfot over here says that argil hu ktata means perish. Lamandam ar mishum shakraita yureya, kol kach l'shaker kevin de rachmalei. Over here, because the one who says that it's because of sheker, she would be afraid to lie. Came into Rachmanle because she still loves him. The cause of the discord over here is the husband, not her. That means that she still really wants to be married over here. So she's not going to lie because she really loves him and she really wants to stay together with him. On the other hand, if you think that the problem here is not lying outright, but simply that she'll use circumstantial evidence, here is because she knows that he doesn't love her anyway. So she's not going to check so carefully. She knows if he's dead, okay, it's over anyway. Let it go. And therefore, she will have been the dummy. That's the way Tosafot suggests over here, that the difference or the issue between them is when the husband is the cause of the discord, not the woman. If the husband is the cause of the discord, then the woman herself is lying to lie in that situation. But she will draw conclusions because she knows it's a fait accompli that she's going to get divorced here, that this husband doesn't really love her. And therefore, she'll be willing to be the dummy, use circumstantial evidence rather than check it out carefully. So now, v'im tomar amai lo tishaker. And you say, why wouldn't she lie in this case? We've already have evidence of the fact that she did lie. So why wouldn't she lie? Even though it's her husband that's driving the situation, why do we not think that she wouldn't repeat the lie that she did before? The Tosfot says, Yeshmar, the Zoraita said, Tishaker Lomar made Bali. There she has risk. Because in a case where she says that my husband died, the penalties are so high that it's very risky for her to make that claim and lie in that way. Where she says, you know, he divorced me, and then she can get him to force him to give another get, at least then she's really divorced and the penalties aren't there. But over here, where there's huge penalties, she won't take that risk. So Tosfot says in this case, where it's not really being driven from her side, she's less likely to lie. Even though she's lied before, but she's less likely to lie in this manner because of the penalties in the back end. Whereas if she was probably the dummy, so if she knows that she's going to be divorced anyway, she figures just circumstantial evidence enough to say he's gone. Now, Yibayilahu, the Gemara asked the same question we asked before about Eid Echad b'milchama. Now, what's the story of Eid Echad b'ktata mahu? In the same way that we said before, she's not believed in milchama, we asked about whether an Eid Echad is believed by milchama. So now over here we have the same thing. She's not believed by Ktata. What about an Eid Echad? Is an Eid Echad an objective party here? And since he's an objective party, we don't have to worry about all the problems that we're having with this woman. Or is the Eid Echad really only in combination with certain aspects of the woman and therefore we still have a problem here? That was the question that was posed by Milchama. Now it's posed here by Ktata. Eid Echad with Ktata, mao. My time with Eid Echad, me'amin mishum de milta davida de gluya ilo mishaker. That's because something that's going to come to light after a period of time, a person doesn't lie about. Over here, the Eid Echad is just not going to lie in these situations. The reason that we believe the Eid Echad is because then the woman takes the testimony of the Eid Echad and checks into it carefully. Over here, since there is discord between them, she's not going to make a concerted effort to check the information out. She's simply going to assume that whatever the Eid said is correct. Teiku. Therefore, it's an unresolved issue over here. What's interesting is that yesterday we had a question as to how the question was posed in terms of Eid Echad b'milchama. They were mechlokot bishonim as to what Eid Echad b'milchama means. Is it something abudei gluyei, and therefore he doesn't lie? Or is it that the Eid is b'dadami? The Eid also comes with circumstantial evidence, and that's why I don't believe him. Or is that the Eid Echad comes with true evidence, but with a woman, what would do with the dummy when she is backing up the Eid? So that's the problem that we, question we had in the Rishonim. Over here in this question, it's clear that the problem is from the woman's side. The Eid Echad is not involved in the Ktata. There's no with the dummy. So it's clear that it's, the Eid is telling the truth and we're not worried about the Eid. What we're worried about is the woman who follows up afterwards. She was in discord and therefore we're worried about her doing this right. So if you extrapolate that back to Eid Echad b'milchama, the question would really revolve around the woman again, which is that the Eid Echad is telling us what we assume to be the truth. The woman has to check it out, and when she checks it out, she does bid the dummy. And that's what's happening over there, like Tosafot explained. So this would support that understanding of the question before. You could argue they're separate questions, although from the structure of the question, it seems that they're similar, and that would prove that the Eid Echad is not the problem in these cases. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Olam, she's not believed. Unless she gets dressed up, she looks like she's an almana, she has all the trappings of an almana, then we believe her that her husband passed away. Tani, Amr Lulu, Rabbi Yehuda, Ledvarecha, Pikacha, Tinase. A woman who is smart, wise, will get married. Shota, Lo Tinase. If she's not as on the ball, then she will not get married, because the one who is on the ball will do all the trappings. She'll look like she's an almana, show up in Beit Din, and therefore she'll be able to get the Beit Din to believe her. If the woman is not as on the ball as savvy, she won't know that. She'll show up at Beit Din and we're going to dismiss her as not being telling the truth just because she's not dressed that way. You're open to people taking advantage of the situation if you say that the whole thing has to do with her appearance. El achadzu v'achadzu tinase. Come and say that it's irrelevant what she's wearing or how she appears. The question is what she says and the evidence she brings to bear. So There was this woman who was going to the Beit Din of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amri Law. So they gave her some friendly advice, whether it's lawyers or other chachamim gave her advice. Safti Balech. Go ahead and eulogize your husband. Kari Manech. Tear your clothing. Sitri Mizayech. Open up your hair. Alfua Shikra. They taught her to lie. I mean that they're giving her advice to act in a certain way, even though she wasn't naturally acting that way. They're telling you, you're going before Rabbi Yehuda, you should be doing these things. So Gemara says, Inu k'rabbanan svir luhu. Those that were advising her hold like the Rabbanan, that it doesn't matter how she appears. But Amrei tavid hochi, keiche delishrei. But they said, you're going before Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's Beit Din, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda's makpid on this issue. So we think the halacha is like the Chachamim, but we know Rabbi Yehuda's makpid on this, so how are we going to get through Rabbi Yehuda's Beit Din? You got to put on an act. You got to put on a show. So you do the show. We're not trying to advise her to lie. We're just trying to give her the full opportunity to get out of this situation without being encumbered by Rabbi Yehuda's position. So how do they do that? They told her how to get around Rabbi Yehuda's position, so now we're back to the Chachamim's position. And now they'll just look at the evidence, not what she looks like. All right, next Mishnah. Beit Hillel Omrim. Lo shamanu ela bala min hakatzir. We only heard about this when they're coming back from the harvest. Uba otam medina. And in that same country or same state, k'maaseh shehaya, similar to the incident that took place. The incident took place is going to be in the Gemara, but basically the Gemara is going to have a case where a woman's husband died, and through her testimony, we find out that it was true, and they allowed to marry her. From that point forward, the Chachamim established that a woman is believer, and Eidah Chet is believed with regards to the death of her husband. That's the Gzeira Mishum Iguna. The question is, how expansive was that Takana? What Beit Hillel says is, that's only similar to the case in which it happened that brought them to do this. The case that happened that brought them to do it was the case of the Katsir, it was the harvest time. And it was only in the locale, it was locally that it happened. So therefore, anytime you want to have this be extrapolated, that you can use this as evidence, it's only in very similar cases. Amru lehem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai responds to him and says, Achad haba min hakatzir, v'achad haba min hazeitim, v'achad haba min habatzir, v'achad haba min medina lemedina. It makes no difference where they're coming from. It doesn't matter if they're harvesting grains, if they're harvesting olives, if they are coming in from collecting the grapes, picking the grapes. It doesn't matter if it's from here or another country. The only reason they mentioned Katsir is because that was the incident that took place. That was what happened, or is more common to happen. In the end, Beit Hillel acquiesced to the position of Beit Shammai and said, you're right, this is not a absolute paradigm that we have to follow. It was just an example, a paradigmatic example, but then we can extrapolate from that, that any case in which this takes place, this is true. Now, we'll see in a second about the Katsir and why Beit Hillel might think that. Tosafot discusses it, and Yerushalmi as well discusses it, but we'll read the case and then I'll explain it to you. Tanyo Amru Lehem Beit Shammai the Beit Hillel the Divrechem. According to your wording, Emli Alek Tzir Chitim. It'll only be true in the wheat harvest. Tzir Sarim Minayin. What are you going to do about the barley harvest? Emli Alek Kotzer. It'll only be true if you're harvesting grains. Potzer, if you were picking grapes. Mosek, you were picking olives. Goder, you were picking tmarim. Oder, you were picking te'enim. Minayin, how do you know in all those cases also that she would be believed? Elamaisa shaya b'katsir. V'wadin l'kulu. The incident took place in the katsir. It happened to be the wheat harvest. But that's true of all these types of harvests. Achanami, maisa shaya b'otah medina. Yes, it took place in a local situation. But v'wadin l'kulu, and this is true with all places. It's not just about this simple location. Beit Hillel v'otam edina d'shchichin shei mirtat. So Beit Hillel says, this is what they were thinking, that in the same location that there's a lot of travel, and a lot of people can come to back up her words, or to disagree, deny what she says, mirtat, she has fear. We want her to tell the truth. We want her to have a certain amount of fear of lying. Well, you know what brings fear of lying? There's nothing like someone else coming in along and saying that you're wrong, and denying everything that you said. So that's true when you're dealing with a local situation. When you're dealing with long distance travel, the likelihood that someone shows up from that other location is remote. And because of that, she has less fear of lying. Maybe dina medina acheret lo shchichi in shei, because there isn't a lot of travel, lo mirta, she's not afraid. Beit Shammai, achanami shchichi shayarta. That's just not true. There are caravans. There is active travel between locations. And if there is active travel between locations, that's enough to have her be fearful that someone will show up and deny everything that she said. And that's enough to have her tell the truth. Again, that would be interesting, which is, in situations where there is not open travel between places, then can you believe the woman in that case? Because we'll never get the evidence, right? If she says something about a location where we can't get the evidence or can't have anybody come and disprove her. So that might be different. With modern communication, it's easy, but you still have places today where if she makes some statement about Iran or about Pakistan, where we're not going to get a lot of travel between these locations, then maybe she can't be believed, because we're not going to get anybody who comes to deny what she says. We can't, there's nobody, how many people are going to show up from that location? All right, so now, my maaseh shehaya. What was the incident? I mean, the Mishnah speaks about an incident as if you know the incident. So here's the maaseh shehaya. Damar review, damar shmo. Shofek tzir chitim ayu. It was the late in the wheat harvest. V'alchu asara bnei adam liktzor chitim. There were 10 people went out to the fields to go harvest the wheat. V'shacho nachash l'chad mehem. A snake bit one of them, umate, and he died. Ubat ishto, v'odiyah lebeitin. His wife shows up in Beitin and says he died. V'shacho umatsu kidvareha. They went out and sent out, they looked into the situation, and they found that she was telling the truth. At that point, they established this chazakah that a woman who comes and says that her husband died, she is believed and she can marry based on that. Made balit tityabim. She says her husband died, she can go ahead and perform yibum. So now, this is the case that they're speaking about. This is the incident. Now, why did this incident trigger for the chachamim to do this? There's two things that happen here. One is that the guy died out in the field, and the only person who showed up to Beit Din was the woman. The other men did not show up in Beit Din. So what Chazal saw from this is that you cannot rely on witnesses that are local to the situation where they are present. They're not going to come to Beit Din. They have no vested interest in coming to Beit Din to testify that this guy died. They don't have anything at stake. The only one with something at stake is the woman. So guess who shows up in Beit Din? His wife who shows up in Beit Din to give the evidence. So that's the first thing the Chachamim saw, which is that you can't rely on real Edim to show up because they don't come. They don't see any reason to come. The woman shows up because she has a serious issue here that her husband passed away. So that's number one. They said, okay, the woman is going to show up. The man will not show up. So we got to give her a certain amount of ne'emanut. The second thing we see is that there's evidence of the fact. It can't be this was the only case. But here they're establishing a pattern of behavior where the women are telling the truth and we can verify it. So therefore, after they establish this pattern of behavior, as well as the fact that the woman's the only one showing up, they said, we got to do something to protect against agunot. And that's what they established here. They protect an agunot. Now, why would you think that the katsir is different than any other situation? Why would Beit Hillel say, only in harvest, we're going to allow this to happen? So Tosafot says over here that it was very common for people to pass away during the harvest. Brings it from the Yerushalmi, says the same thing, which is that during the katsir, during the harvest, you were out in the fields under the beating sun for very long durations. And it was very common that people died in the fields during Ksir Chitim, either because they dehydrated, sunstroke, from being bitten by animals out in the field. It was a common occurrence. And how do we know that? In the Navi, we have that situation by the Ishashu Namit. After she's granted a child by Elisha, her son goes out to the field with the father during the Katsir, during the harvest, and he faints or passes away because of the heat at that time. Same thing, that it happened during the Katsir. So we see that there is this recurring theme of people dying during the Katsir. So Beit Hillel says you're covering something that's a very common occurrence by saying that it is the Katsir. Over here, they were, by saying Katsir, it seems like they covered a large number of the deaths that were happening where the guy didn't die at home on his bed, that he was dying out somewhere where they didn't have evidence. So that's why they focused on that particularly and not just a general statement. In the end, Beit Shammai convinces them that that's not the case. You have to be more expansive. You can't limit this to the Katsir Chitim, because otherwise you're going to have this ridiculous situation in which it's only wheat harvest, not the other types of harvest. This should be true of any harvest, that you're out in the sun or under the beating sun. All of this should be true. And therefore, Beit Hillel acquiesces that we can expand the authority that was granted by Beit Din to protect women from being agunot. Neima, let us say, Rabbi Hananya ben Akiva, Rabbanan, Beplukto de Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel kamiflegei. Let us say that we have another machloket that is very similar to this machloket of Beit Hillel ben Shammai, which is, do we expand the authority of a takana if the takana was created around a very specific event? The Tanya. Lo yisa adam echatat, ve'efer chatat, v'avireim biyardein. Ubisfina, a person may not take mechatat or efer chatat, these are the things from the parah aduma that are used to be mitayer people. You cannot take them, v'avireim biyardein, cross over the Yardein, ubisfina, and not on a boat. You can't stand on one side and throw it across the other side. You can't float them across on a raft or some sort of thing. You can't take them on an animal that walks through the water. And he can't be on his friend's shoulders to cross the Yordain. He's got to have his feet on the ground. If his feet are on the ground, then he can cross the river, he can cross the Jordan, that's fine. If he's off the ground, whatever way it is that he's off the ground, we have a problem. You'd like to take them across a bridge. It's true, all this is true by the Jordan, as well as other rivers. So here, there's a takana because of an incident that took place on the Jordan on a boat across the Jordan. So here, the Tanakam or the Chachamim say, you can apply it to the Jordan and every other river. You can apply it to any means of transportation by which your feet are not on the ground. That is true, this takana applies, and you're not allowed to do it. The only way you can cross a river is with your feet on the ground. That either means literally on the ground, the bed of the river, or a bridge that goes across the river. Those are both considered to be your feet on the ground. And that's permitted. And it doesn't matter if it's Yardin or Narot. Also, Rav Nechananya ben Akiva says, Omer lo amru, el Yardin b'sfina. This is only true by the Yardin and by a boat. Uke maaseh shaya. Exactly like the maaseh shaya. Now the Gemara will say what the maaseh shaya is in a second. We saw this back in the Gemara in Chagiga, which is that they were crossing the Yardin with the Efer Chatat, and in the base or the hull of the boat, there was a Gzait Minamet. So Gzai made a mate, made the whole thing Tamei, made him Tamei mate, made the ruin the Eivre Chatat. So that's the incident. The question is, do you extrapolate that incident and have a broader Takana, which is what the Chachamim are saying? But Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva is saying that no, it's a very narrow Takana, exactly like the incident took place. So Mara says, Lema Rabbanon Damrei Kebet Shammai. Let us say that Rabbanon hold like Beit Shammai, that when you have a Takana based on a specific incident, it's not literally that incident, we extrapolate to broader cases. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva, Damar Kebet Hillel. He holds like Kebet Hillel, who say that it's narrow. Whatever the case was where the Takana applied, that's where it applies. We don't extrapolate, we don't expand it beyond that. So here you have both them seemingly presenting the same opinion. So Amr Lecha Rabbana. So Rabbana can answer you, Anan Amrin Anaf Kebet Hillel. We can even hold like Beit Hillel. Al Kanom Kamar Beit Hillel Hatem Leshum Demirtat. The reasoning behind Beit Hillel over there is we need her to be fearful. The only way she's going to be fearful is if it's local and if there is evidence that could undermine her statement. But Makam Karov Mirtat, Makam Rachoklo Mirtat. So in a place that's local, then she'll be fearful. When it's far away or where it's not a easily verifiable information, she won't be fearful. Hacha Mali Yardain Mali Shah Narot. Over here, there's no reason to differentiate between the Yardain and Narot. There's no more likelihood of Tumatamate on the Yardain than there is in another river. So therefore, it should equally apply in all these cases. That's what the Rabbanan say. V'chananya ben Akiva, Amar lecha, anam reyaf the Beit Shammai. I can even say this in Beit Shammai's binyan. Ad kan lo kamer Beit Shammai hotam el mishum de'i daiko mincibah. Because we rely on her to check into the information carefully and get married. Mali makom karov, mali makom rachok. Doesn't matter whether it's local or it's far away. She's going to get the evidence that she needs in order to figure out the situation and verify that the information is correct. Now, that is not such a simple leap of faith, because it is easier to get information from a closer location than a further location. But we're relying on the woman to do the check and to do it properly. That means no matter how far it is, she's going to do it right, and we can rely on her. Over here, where the incident took place on the Yardin with a boat, that's where they were gozer. In other rivers, where that wasn't the incident, they were not gozer. There's no reason, lo gozer rabbanan. There was no reason to expand the Gzeirab on the Yardin. So Gemara says, my Maisa Shaya. So what was this incident again? Here you talk about the incident. What was the incident? It's crossing the Jordan River in a boat. And they found the Gzeit of Mate in the hull of the boat. At that point in time, they said, don't take this stuff across the Yardin with a boat. Now, how is that limited to that, or is that just the paradigm that they use in order to expand the din? And so that's what they're arguing about, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva. But the Gemara here says that they don't necessarily line up with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. That even if you hold like one in this instance, you don't have to say the same in the other instance. Okay, next Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim Tina Sei Vititok Tubata. When she comes and testifies to the fact that her husband passed away, she may marry, and she gets her ktubah. She can get married, but she can't get her ktubah. You're willing to let erva, which is a punishment of eshet ish, which is a significant issue, you're letting that go through with her testimony to give her a little bit of money? That you're worried about here? Doesn't make any sense. We have other evidence of the fact that the brothers are not entitled to go into the Yerusha. So the inheritors of the estate are not granted rights to the estate, even though she is freed and allowed to get married. Let's look inside the ketubah and see what's written there. Maybe we should learn. Shu koteva. What's written in the ketubah? Shimtina silacher. That if you get married to someone else, you will take that which is rightfully yours. I mean, you'll get your ketubah will be paid out when you marry someone else. Well, guess what? When she testifies that her husband passed away, she will marry someone else. And when she marries someone else, she triggers the ketubah. So why shouldn't she get paid out of the ketubah? Chazru Beit Hillel wrote to Beit Shammai, Kedivrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel relented on their opinion and then acquiesced to the position of Beit Shammai. Now, Tosafot over here talks about why they reversed their position, because we find in other places that Beit Hillel does not take literally what's written inside of the ketubah and use that as evidence as to what the outcome should become. So Tosafot gives one of two answers. He says either they reversed their opinion because of the Kal V'chomer, which was the first claim that Beit Shammai had, and that's why they reversed their opinion, or they reversed their opinion because it's written in the ketubah, so they are medayik what's in the ketubah, but not as careful as Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is medayik word for word exactly what it says, and they'll take much more out of the ketubah. Beit Hillel, in a broader sense, will look at it, but not in such a specific sense will they do that. The other thing that Tosfot says is, she'ein achim nichnasim lenachala, that the children are not allowed to go into the nachala. Tosfot brings up a Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Gemara in Baba Metzia says, with regards to a shavui, with regards to someone who's in captivity, that we do morid karov lenachala. We allow krovim to go down to the nachala if we get information that he died, that the Shavui died, we allow a Karov to go in there and take care of the property. How come over there, where we have someone in captivity, we believe them, and we assume that the Karov can go, and over here, we're not letting the inheritors of the estate go in? So Tosafot says, either, you have to argue here that there's a difference in what allowing means. In terms of Baba Metzia, what they allow him to do is they allow him to go down the field and eat the peirot, the produce of the field. They can eat that which is producing in the interim. But they can't go out and sell the field, they can't go ahead and do something different with the field. So that's what our mission is talking about, Le'rei V'lim Kor, to go down and sell it. We're not going to let the children go in and sell it. We may allow them to go down, like the Shavuot, to eat from it and utilize it in the interim, but we're not going to allow them to sell it. So that might be the difference between the Gemaras. The Gemara over here is talking about selling, which we won't allow. Over there it's talking about utilizing, which we will allow. Or, he says that there might be a difference, which is, when Shamo Shabo Shemait Be'ed Echad, so question is the evidence in this case, in that case, the same? Which is that, how did they get the information, Sheshamo Bo Shemait? How did they hear that he died? Did they hear that he died by Neid Echad, which would be similar to our case over here? Or did they get the information, meaning that we got it from two Edim? So that might be the difference also. Sheshamo Bo Shemait means that in that incident, it was two Edim, which is full Edut. In that situation, we're going to let them go in and do whatever they want because we have real Edut. Over here, we're relying on a woman's edut in order to allow it. Here, we're not going to allow it to go through. And that might be the difference between the two cases over here. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Gemara on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.